hear talk all the time about the global economic crisis and its impact upon people's lives around the globe. It's been the dominant topic of discussion in the media for most of the past 12 months, and almost certainly will be top of the agenda at the upcoming G8 summit of world leaders. But how often do we hear mention of the ongoing global food crisis? A crisis that pushed hundreds of thousands of more people into poverty and triggered riots last year in a number of developing nations. Yes, the global food crisis is still ongoing, even though it largely slipped off people's radar screens in the second part of 2008, after the economic crunch began to bite in earnest. Nearly 1 billion people are currently suffering from hunger around the world, and the economic crisis is increasing this number, making the situation worse by the day. But who is to blame for this global food insecurity? Well, a new report by development experts says the United States and the European Union bear special responsibility for this food crisis because of the policies they enacted over the past few decades. The report was compiled by CIDSE, an international alliance of Catholic development agencies, and the Institute for Agricultural Policy. It identified key steps needed to change policies and create a just and sustainable global food system. Cleona Sharkey is advocacy officer for CIDSE, and she began by telling me about the gravity of this ongoing food crisis.
Well, that's a very good point to raise, Susie. The financial crisis and the economic downturn have overtaken the food crisis in the headlines since late 2008 and early 2009 for a variety of reasons. However, it would be a mistake to consider that this means the food crisis is over. In December 2008, the Food and Agricultural Organization published its annual report on the state of food insecurity in the world, and that report indicated that another 40 million people had been pushed into hunger in 2008, primarily due to price rises. Although the prices they had decreased at that point from their peak last year, the FAO projected that they would remain above 2006 prices for the foreseeable future. The result is that we see people living in poverty in developing countries are now eating less, less often, and less well, and this trend has yet to be curbed. The economic crisis is exacerbating the situation, as there is less demand now, creating increasing unemployment in both developed and developing countries, and resulting in dwindling remittances to developing countries.
But why are we hearing so little about it? Why are we being bombarded all the time, as I said earlier, about the economic crisis, but we're not really hearing about these dramatic figures?
Well, I suppose that's a question of political priorities. The economic crisis is the crisis that is probably preoccupying politicians' minds, also in terms of electorate and elections and things like that. And I suppose also an important point is the fact that those who are really suffering from the food crisis are those with least voice, those who are least able to put pressure on governments and the international community, which means it's so important for civil society and others to bring their voices to the fore and to increase the pressure on governments not to forget about the food crisis and those who are being worst impacted by both the food crisis and the economic crisis.
Why do Europe and the US, though, bear special responsibility for the food crisis? What have they done wrong?
Well, first of all, it's important to note that a food crisis has in fact existed for many decades, and there have been millions of rural poor people in developing countries suffering from both hunger and malnutrition. The difference was that in 2007 and 2008 that food prices exploded for a variety of reasons. With that factor, the urban poor then came out in the streets to protest, and it was then that national governments and the international community sat up and began to pay attention. It's in this context in particular that the EU and the US bear a particular responsibility. Although it's clear that there were a number of medium and short-term factors that contributed to the rise in food prices, for example, the increased competition in recent years, overuse of land for food or energy production, unchecked speculation on agricultural commodity markets, the decreases in food stocks coupled with less reliable yields due to increasing climate variability, changing consumption patterns in advancing developing countries. It's also equally clear that the policies enacted by the US and the EU and then aggressively pushed through global institutions over the last several decades had set the scene for this explosion by establishing a global food system vulnerable to disruptions. I think, as many of us are already aware, the EU and the US have been the main drivers of the liberalization of global agricultural markets, promoting global markets as a source of stable food supply for countries that could not produce enough food for their own needs. They also use their controlling role in the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund to advance policies that serve their own interests. For example, limitations on government support to agriculture in developing countries through policy conditionalities tied to loans from the international financial institutions. At the same time, the EU and the US were maintaining ample support for their own agricultural sectors, using measures that grant them unfair advantages on world markets and practices such as dumping.
What measures need to be taken to modify the policies of, you know, key players like Europe and the US?
Well, what we want to avoid, but what we're seeing at the moment, there have been many good ideas coming out of, from the ES and the EU, but from the international community in particular. But what we're not seeing is the kind of fundamental shift in approach that is really needed to forge a new path. So what we're seeing, what we're getting indications of is a lot of kind of quick fixes, stimulation of production, rollout of agricultural inputs, things like that. Whereas what we really need is a more fundamental change in the approach, more structural investment into agriculture and rural development policies, and a specific focus on small-scale farmers. Small-scale farmers face a multiplicity of constraints, and not just straightforward production issues, but also access to water, credit, agricultural inputs, and information onto what is needed in the market. But this requires investment of billions of dollars, and we believe strongly in CIDSA that small-scale and sustainable farming must be placed at the heart of agricultural and development policy. So in combination with changes needed in agricultural policy, we also need more pro-development international trade rules, and specifically the creation of policy space for developing countries. I think we found with the food price crisis last year that the lack of policy options available to developing countries under current trade rules meant that many had little choice but to impose export restrictions in response to the scarcity of supplies. And this prompted others to follow suit and, in fact, exacerbated the crisis in the long run.
And do you think these countries have the political will to take these steps that, as you say, are needed?
That's a good question. As I said, there have been many good ideas floated. There's a lot of good rhetoric there at many of the high-level meetings that have taken place in the recent months. But as I said, we fail to see yet the real commitment to making the fundamental changes needed in how the world governs itself.
What about the role of faith-based organisations like yourself? What are you doing to alert government leaders and opinion makers about this issue?
I think faith-based organisations have a very important role to play. As you well know, faith-based organisations are working with communities living in poverty in countries all across the world. I think we have an added value in our input into the debate because we have a moral message to bring. We emphasise that the question of this is a global injustice. And we're also able to bring the experience and the concrete impact of what's happening in developing countries right to decision makers to show them what is happening on the ground. And I think also because of our wide outreach, our large Catholic constituency, we're able to make a large constituency of people aware and have people mobilised about these issues.
If Europe and the US don't take action, don't heed your calls, what is likely to be the impact on poor people in developing countries in the near future?
Well, if we continue with the business as usual, we essentially accept the continuation of this situation of global food insecurity, and we deny the right to food of millions of people in developing countries.
I was talking to Cleona Sharkey, Advocacy Officer for CIDSE, the Alliance of Catholic Development Agencies.
Follow you, then feed my lambs, he says, my people, feed my sheep.